Chapter 1. The Method of Perception in Kabbalah. Kabbalah teaches about the cause and effect connection between spiritual sources that unite according to absolute laws into one exalted goal, the attainment of the Creator by the created beings existing in this world. According to Kabbalah, all humanity and every individual must reach this ultimate point to fully attain the goal and the program of creation. Throughout the generations, individuals have attained a certain spiritual level through individual work. These people, called Kabbalists, climb to the top of the spiritual ladder. Every material object and its action, from the smallest to the greatest, is operated by spiritual forces that fill our entire universe. It is as if our universe were resting on a net of forces. Take, for example, the tiniest living organism whose role is to merely reproduce and sustain its species. Think about how many forces and complex systems function within it, and how many of them remain undetected by the human eye. If we multiply them by the number of organisms living today, and then by those that once lived in our universe and in the spiritual worlds, we will then have a vague idea of the vast number of forces and connections that control them. One can depict the spiritual forces as two interconnecting and equal systems. The difference between them is that one comes from the Creator and develops from up downward through all the worlds to our world, and the other begins in our world and rises according to the laws that were developed in the first system and now function in the second. Kabbalah defines the first system as the order of creation of worlds and Sephirot, the second as the attainment or levels of prophecy and spirit. The second system teaches that people who wish to attain the ultimate degree should follow the laws of the first system, which are the laws studied in Kabbalah. When one ascends in these degrees, the second factor is born within. This is spirituality. The corporal world is full of forces and phenomena that we don't feel directly, such as electricity and magnetism. But even small children are familiar with their names and the result of their actions. For example, although our knowledge of electricity is limited, we have learned to utilize this phenomenon for our purposes, and we define it as naturally as we give names to such things as bread and sugar. Similarly, it is as if all the names in Kabbalah give us a real and objective idea about a spiritual object. On second thought, just as we have no idea about spiritual objects or even the Creator Himself, we are equally ignorant of any objects, even those that we can grip with our hands. This is because we perceive not the object itself, but our reaction to its impact on our senses. These reactions give us the semblance of knowledge, though the essence of the object itself remains totally concealed from us. Moreover, we are utterly unable to understand even ourselves. All that we know about ourselves is limited to our actions and reactions. As an instrument of the world's research, science divided into two parts: the study of the properties of matter and the study of its form. In other words, there's nothing in the universe that does not consist of matter and form. For example, a table is a combination of matter and form, where matter, such as wood, is the basis that carries the form, that of a table. Or take the word liar, where matter, one's body, is a carrier of the form, falsehood. A science that studies materials is based on tests, experiments, that lead to scientific conclusions. However, a science that studies forms irrespective of matter and separates them abstractly cannot be based on experiment. This is even truer with forms that were never connected to matter, because a form without matter does not exist in our world. A form can be separated from matter only in one's imagination. Therefore, all conclusions in such cases will be based purely on theoretical assumptions. All of philosophy refers to this kind of science, and humanity has often suffered from the unsubstantiated conclusions of philosophers. Most modern scientists have rejected this kind of research because its conclusions are completely unreliable. While researching the spiritual worlds, we discover that our perceptions are merely a will from above that wants us to feel as if we are a separately existing entity and not a part of the Creator. The entire surrounding world is actually the result of the influence of spiritual forces on us. This is why the surrounding world is considered a world of illusions. Let me explain what I mean with an allegory. Once upon a time, there lived a coachman. He had a pair of horses, a house, and a family. And suddenly, he had a wave of bad luck. His horses died, and so did his wife and his children, and his house collapsed. Soon enough, the coachman died of grief. At the celestial court, it was discussed what could be given to such a tormented soul. And finally, it was decided to let him feel as if he were alive, with his family in his house, as if he had good horses and was happy with his work in life. These sensations are sometimes perceived in the same way that a dream seems real. Indeed, only our sensations create our pictures of the surrounding world. So how can we tell illusion from reality? As with all sciences, Kabbalah, too, is divided into the study of matter and the study of form. Nevertheless, it has a remarkable feature and an edge over other sciences. Even the part of it that studies form abstracted from matter is based entirely on experimental control, that is, it is subject to empirical testing. When a Kabbalist has risen to the spiritual level of the studied object, he or she acquires its qualities and thereby has full insight. This person can practically operate various forms of matter even before they manifest in matter, as if observing our illusions from the side. Just as with any other teaching, Kabbalah uses certain terminology and symbols to describe objects and actions. A spiritual force, a world, or a sephira is called by the name of the worldly object that it controls. Since every material object or force corresponds to the spiritual object or force that controls it, an utterly precise conformity is created between the name taken from the corporeal world and its spiritual root, its source. Therefore, only a Kabbalist who clearly knows the correspondence between spiritual forces and material objects can assign names to spiritual objects. Only one who has attained the spiritual level of an object can see the consequences of its influence in our world. Kabbalists write books and pass their knowledge to others using the language of branches. This language is exceptionally accurate because it's based on the connection between the spiritual root and the corporeal branch. It cannot be altered due to the invariable connection between an object and its spiritual root. At the same time, our earthly language is gradually losing its accuracy because it's connected only to the branch and not to the root. However, mere nominal knowledge of the language is insufficient because simply knowing the name of a material object provides no understanding of its spiritual form. Only the knowledge of the spiritual form enables one to see its material result, its branch. We can thus conclude that one should first attain the spiritual root, its nature and properties. Only then can one pass the name on to a branch in this world and study the interconnection between the spiritual root and the material branch. Only then can one understand the language of branches, thus facilitating a precise exchange of spiritual information. We may ask, if one should attain the spiritual root first, how can a beginner master this science without the correct understanding of the teacher? The answer is that through the great desire for spirituality, the student finds the right way and acquires the sensation of the upper world. This is done by studying authentic sources only, as well as detaching from any material rituals.